April 1st, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right, I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast, and it is April 1st, 2005. Hey, new month, April, and a lot of great stuff happening today, I'm just amazed. Let's see, what are we going to talk about today? We got the PowerBook G5 coming out, we got the Mac Media Personal Media Center from Apple coming out, and those are both with Tiger, all announced earlier today. We've also got iPod Incorporated breaking off from Apple, interesting little news bit that we might want to talk about, and we've got Microsoft developing its own distribution of Linux, which should be interesting, and lastly, we've got Sony, which is issuing a software update, adding web browser and email capabilities to all PSP models. That's right. No. I wish. No, April Fools, everybody. Nothing quite that exciting is happening today, but there was some stuff, and we're going to talk about it. But first, here's your 5 5-second news headlines. Alright, Toshiba has introduced its supercharged battery, capable of recharging 80% of a battery's energy capacity in only 1 minute. Bloglines is adding package tracking to its web-based news reader, allowing users to get automatic updates on the status of shipped goods. And both Toshiba and Elpida Memory have announced new DRAM chips that take advantage of new technology in order to achieve speeds of 3.2 GHz. Also, the Defense Information Systems Agency has signed a $20 million contract, that is, with Nortel Networks for the installation of a high-capacity voice over IP network. And lastly, Intel has recently launched a new line of Xeon processors featuring 64-bit capabilities for use in servers with four or more chips. And those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. First thing I want to talk about is the new audio comment line that I got through k7.net. I was previously using j2.com, but j2 doesn't actually allow you to pick your own phone number. So I switched over to K7.net, which is still free, but gives you the phone number of your choice. So I picked out the number 206-666-CHIP. That's 206-666-CHIP. And so if you want to leave an audio comment, go ahead and call that number. And there is a little recording that I have up there that should answer. I will not answer. It'll just be it's just a voicemail system, and you have a couple minutes to say whatever you want, and that all gets delivered to me by email, and I will, if you send in an audio comment, I will be sure to play it on the next show. Let's see. Another thing I want to talk about is last week's podcast. Where did that thing go? Well, I have no idea. There was an audio dropout for the last 5 minutes or so of the show. That was, I just discovered, due to an error in GarageBand. I'm not sure what happened. GarageBand audio, like it did just now. All right, the audio just freaked out right there. That was actually due to just normal software lag, I think, not GarageBand. But anyway, on the last show, GarageBand decided to cut the audio down to zero volume for the last 5 minutes. So I think that somehow messed with the bitrate or something of the file, and then that messed with the compatibility with the RSS, and then people weren't able to download it. So it's not like I'm going to redo that show, because it's a week old by now. But you can download just the direct MP3 of that show off of everythingdigital.org. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the feed entry for that show working or not. But for now, direct download's probably your best bet. But this show, I can assure you, I will be monitoring all audio levels throughout the show, and hopefully stopping GarageBand from doing anything funny. So, let's see, what else here? Radio stations are apparently getting into podcasting. There are some companies that are starting to make contracts with radio stations, and they're getting radio stations to start archiving their shows and making podcasts out of them, which is great, but who wants to listen to a radio show as a podcast? First of all, it's got commercials. Second, it's probably like 3 or 4 hours long. It's the kind of show that you wouldn't want to just sit down and listen to, like, you know, a 30-minute podcast, sure you would, but a 3 or 4 hour radio show? Well, I guess it depends on the listener, but I know I wouldn't want to download a show that would take me 3 or 4 hours to listen to. That's why I don't download Inside Mac Radio. I just don't have the time. I don't have 2 hours to devote to that, just one show, because I subscribe to a lot of podcasts, and if one or two of them are 2 hours or more long, it gets really hard to listen to them all. I'm already behind on my podcast listening. So I think it's going to be a challenge for radio shows to get into podcasting, because I think the audience and the method of listening is so different that either they're going to really have to tweak their shows and their format, or they're just not going to get a whole lot of listeners. So I know there's already some radio shows that are doing podcasts, but they for now seem to be short segments of the radio show, not the whole big chunk. But the point is, radio shows are formatted for people to just sort of turn on their car stereo, listen to a bit of the show, and then tune out as they, you know, as they get out of the car, or as they lose interest, then they flip to another station. So, don't know where that'll go, but definitely the radio stations need to consider this a lot better. And we'll see what the companies who are helping the radio station to do this, we'll see where they go with it. New developments in HP's partnership with Apple have surfaced. HP has announced that HP has announced their first computer with a built-in iPod dock. Now there were rumors that the Mac Mini had an iPod dock, sort of, or an open port almost for an iPod dock. There was a little circuit installed under the top panel of the iPod Mac Mini. There was a little circuit for a FireWire port. So there was some speculation as to what that was for, and possibly could have been for an iPod dock. However, HP is definitely stepping up to the plate here, and they're also offering their own version of the iPod Photo, as well as planning to incorporate a quote-unquote groove of plastic for the user to insert an iPod dock in their Media Center M7000 PCs. So not actually an iPod dock in those computers, just a place for an iPod dock, since there's different size docks for different iPod models and different ways of fitting them in there. Also, this development in HP's partnership with Apple has come after a great deal of criticism towards HP for not taking full advantage of their partnership with Apple and with the iPod. So they've sort of responded to their the criticism, and a lot of people were saying that they should do more with this and go farther, because there's definitely a lot more to be done in this with the iPod. I mean, it would seem like we've just accessorized it to death, but there's always more to do. There's always more accessories and more ways to use this device. The PSP has not sold out yet. Only 50 out of 150 U.S. stores are out of stock, and 15 other stores had 15 or fewer units remaining. Estimates put the total sales at 575,000 units, with about 300,000 units remaining. So it seems like Sony has been able to sort of flood the U.S. enough with both the extra PSPs they were manufacturing for the U.S. And the PSPs, that they diverted from Europe. They basically delayed it a couple months in Europe so the U.S. could have enough PSPs. Well, now we have 300,000 too many PSPs, but I'm sure those will sell out as well. But by then, Sony will have more stock for us probably, and just keep a continuous flow of PSPs coming to the U.S. because they are definitely selling. Got some non-RIAA music for you. This is kind of, well, an odd one. It's not exactly odd. It's just very unknown. This actually was given to me by a relative, and this is from, let me check the date on this. This is from 1981, and this is sort of a college garage band, and no, they are not on GarageBand.com, but they are a garage band, and you can have a listen for yourself. It's pretty good for a garage band. The audio quality is not the best, since it was 1981. But this is from the Misfits of Chicago, or the Chicago Misfits, from their album Swing to the Right. This is Terminal on the Everything Digital Podcast. that is Terminal from the Chicago Misfits. So, also, some other things I wanted to talk about. Gmail is growing at the rate of 1 megabyte per minute. it is expanding from 1 gigabyte to 2 gigabytes over this April Fool's Day at the rate of 1 megabyte per minute. So if you check your Gmail inbox and just keep refreshing, you'll see your megabyte total going up as you refresh the page. So pretty interesting. Yahoo just upped theirs to 1 gigabyte, and then of course Google has to match that and beat it, or, well, they already had it matched, but of course they had to outdo it, so they are now kicking theirs up to 2 gigabytes. So, nice for podcasters who get way too many emails a day and audio comments and things, and the Adam Curry's MP3 feedback at gmail.com. I'm sure that's a whole lot easier now with 2 gigabytes of storage. Also, another thing that's interesting and sad, the New York Times circuit section looks like I won't be doing flip-throughs of that anymore because it is no more. The circuit section has been dissolved into Business Day, and now they only do one and a half pages in Business Day, maybe just one page in Business Day. But they have David Pogue's State of the Art post, and then they also have one page of just the normal articles from Circuit Section. But, you know, it's not the same. They don't have all the online diary and the news watch and all the wonderful stuff that used to come with Circuits. So it sounds like they'll still be doing circuits, like the actual section circuits, every once in a while when there's some big circuits news, but it really won't be a normal Thursday feature anymore, which is too bad. It was a very interesting section, and one of my favorite big media sources for technology news. So sad to see that go. And I don't really know why it went. Seems like that kind of thing would be fairly popular, but I guess they probably had some discrepancies with advertising, or maybe people just weren't reading it. And the last thing I want to talk about is Google's new service, actually product, Google Gulp. If you haven't seen this yet, you might want to go to google.com right now before they take it off. Let me just load this and read some of it. Apparently, Google is introducing a new product that will be seen in soft drink machines nationwide from now on. is called Google Gulp, and it is the intelligent soft. And GarageBand just cut out there for some reason. I think I have too many windows open at once. Anyway, so the intelligent soft drink, and on Google's page they say, think fruity, think refreshing, think a DNA scanner embedded in the lip of your bottle, reading all 3 gigabytes of your base pair genetic data in a fraction of a second, fine-tuning your individual hormonal cocktail in real time using our patented auto-drink technology, and slamming a truckload of electrolytic neurotransmitter smart drug stimulants past the blood-brain barrier to achieve maximum optimization of your soon-to-be-grateful cerebral cortex. Plus, it's low in carbs. So that's Google Gulp. Google's little April Fool's Day addition to their site and repertoire of goods and services, apparently. So, that is about it for today. Hopefully there were no problems in the recording of this podcast, no dropouts, and you should get it just fine in your iPod or client. Whatever that may be, iPod RX is definitely a recommended one, especially since version 3.0 is definitely on its way. And I can't talk much about it, but I can say very interesting, very interesting. So I'll leave you with that little teaser there. And this outro music is Street Dance in Cairo from John McCloy off GarageBand.com. So you can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can vote for the Everything Digital podcast on Podcast Alley, also at everythingdigital.org. And since it is April, that means if you voted last month, you can go there again now and vote again. So hopefully we can see the Everything Digital podcast get up in the top 50 again this month. It wasn't in the top 50 at the end of last month, but it was in there in the beginning of last month. So let's see if we can get it there again. Go ahead and vote for the Everything Digital podcast, podcastalley.com or everythingdigital.org. Also, you can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast feed at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml if you are not already subscribed. Just plug that into your iPod or client. And you can email me. My email address is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is podcaster. You can also call 206-666-CHIP. That's 206-666-CHIP or 206-666-2447, and leave an audio comment at that number. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed. It's like a street dance in Cairo.
It's like a sweet street dance in Cairo.